Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are going to run down some of the expected point totals here for the tight end position. So leading the league here, we're going to just do one combo show. There's not a ton of complexity in the tight end position, so we can just do one show here. Leaders, Baltimore, 18.8, performed right about expectation. 23.9% of his routes Mark Andrews was targeted on. He's a monster. That's 98th percentile, 2.18 yards per route run. Again, 98th percentile. He is a monster. So big fan of Andrews here, and I project him to be good going forward. Expected for tight end one, performed tight end one. Not a ton of mystery there. And honestly, the situation probably didn't get worse. So that's good for him in terms of that expected points. All right, Tampa Bay is up next at 18.6. Gronkowski expected points per game is fourth. He actually produced at third. So good performance there. Again, it's not just touchdowns, right? He was 2.09 yards per route run. That's 97th percentile. He was expected for 95th percentile as well. So that's good. 93rd percentile in terms of points per route run. So really, I mean, across the board, a really strong performance in some of the ancillary metrics. Again, you have to remember he was hurt, he's been banged up, and I think a lot of people point to, hey, he's at the end of the line, he's kind of at the end of his career. But listen, he's still in terms of his actual production, he's still way up there, right? He's in the, don't forget, like, he and Kelce are the same age. And so right up there, and Gronkowski sort of still in that range as well. The 12 games, right, that we hope that goes up, but he saw 86 targets in those 12 games, so at north of 7 per game, a really robust number there. So we like him. Not a ton there elsewise. Otten, I guess, is interesting from maybe a deeper developmental perspective, but not a ton else there. Brait, I guess we could see. OJ Howard left as well. But I think the story you're looking for here is Gronkowski. And I guess Brait would be interesting if Gronk did not come back. Kansas City's next up at 18.2. No surprise with Kelce there. Again, this could be a situation that could go up as well. You would expect, given the loss of Tyreek Hill and some of the uncertainty, that maybe Mahomes would lean on Kelce a bit more than he did last year. Again, Kelce had some of that metric regression that gave me a little bit of pause last year in terms of where he was and where he was producing relative to before. Again, Gronkowski outperforms him in terms of yards per route run as well. Some of the expectation was down. He was basically 3% or so over expectation. So pretty close in terms of where he was at. And then he's just running routes on basically all the dropbacks as well. I mean, he's just running a ton of routes, right? Just really getting involved there. 93rd percentile in terms of expected yards per route run. He performed 92nd percentile in yards per route run. So I do think there's some regression based off of where he was early on in his career, or the last couple of years, I guess, really in sort of the prime window. He has come back a little bit to earth, but again, if you fall off 10, 20% and you're a star, right, you finish in the top three at the tight end position, right? That's how you basically age. Next up here is Miami. We do have some change in the offensive scheme here, as well as the addition of Tyreek Hill and a change in coaching staff. So you got all that. So we'll see how that transitions into the volume at this position. But Gesicki expected for 10th in points per game, underperformed yardage by about 45 yards. He's expected for 825, and he got 780. So you would have hoped for a better performance there in terms of that. Again, they underperformed by about 2 points per game as a position. So Gesicki's been one that it's complicated with him, because it's always been, oh, the volume's good, and then he had more competition and his points per game actually went up. So with him, his ancillary metrics would point to he's more just a guy than he is big-time difference maker. But he is pretty locked in that offense in terms of that role, especially without – he's, I think, a pretty solid top three option in that offense, and there's not a ton at the at the running back position. This offense doesn't run a ton out of the running back position in terms of routes either, going back to San Francisco as well. So we'll be on the watch for him. Again, I think he eats innings in the tight end one range of the position. Atlanta is next up. They were at 17.1 expected points per game, performed at 16.1. So we'll see. I mean, Pitts is on the ascension. We'll see what happens with a changing quarterback room with Marcus Mariota replacing Matt Ryan. You also have Desmond Ridder there. So we'll watch for how that changes. Some of it is probably not going to help London, but this has become the addition isn't probably the some of the stuff isn't going to help Pitts. The addition of London to take the place of Calvin Ridley and the loss of Russell Gage, like, I think ultimately that probably puts more of an onus on him and a target potential on him. But the efficiency of the offense may be a little lacking. So he'll be an interesting one to watch in terms of what his volume can be and how he produces on this, because this offense could be a little bit rough this year. By the way, they did bring back Anthony Firkser to add to the Arthur Smith offense, which is where he actually broke out a couple years ago. So Anthony Firkser watch still in full effect. I only say in half jest. Okay, Cleveland is next up, and so they're at sixth in terms of expected points at 15.8. This one floored me a bit. 25th in expected points per game in 2021, Austin Hooper. 29th in expected points per game in 2021, David Njoku. Austin Hooper departs. He goes to Tennessee. Njoku is the ascension candidate. This probably means to me that Hooper's a little bit undervalued where he is in the market. And maybe Joku's overcooked a little bit too. Again, you're looking for guys that can potentially stand out at their costs. I get it with Njoku, but Austin Hooper actually outproduced him in expectation last year. So we'll have to watch and see how they use him in an offense that's frankly kind of open down there in Tennessee for Hooper to be relevant. And we'll see how that goes there. But I think the big watch here is the Watson shoot a drop and how that could impact Njoku, either good or bad. Denver, I don't think there's much to learn from this, honestly. They've added Russell Wilson. They've changed coaches. They lost Noah Fant. They bring in Albert O. I mean, the offense was top quarter in terms of tight ends last year, but basically nothing has remained the same. So not sure we draw a ton of that. Albert O getting a prime opportunity to potentially break out. And then Vegas was actually eighth. But again, I'm not sure there's a ton to draw from this because changing coaching staff, they bring in Devontae Adams. You did have Waller hurt a bit. So I think you could see either happen, right? You could see up or down for him. And that would be, I think that he's better than what their expectation was last year. He didn't play all that much, and he could potentially grow there. But is it a cap ceiling type situation with a guy like Devontae Adams? Renfro re-upping here as well in terms of an extension. So you might be in a little bit of a capped ceiling situation for a guy like Waller. That would be maybe my concern more than anything. And again, how much do they love him? And he's a little bit specific as well. So we've seen this coaching staff do stuff with Gronkowski and with Aaron Hernandez as well when New England was really rolling offensively with the tight end stuff. So you would think that they could handle a guy like Waller, but you never know with those coaching staff changes and the rumors that he was already on the trade market and the like. So we'll have to watch for how that unfolds. All right, bottom of the position here in terms of expectation. So actually the Jets were decent in terms of receiving expectation. They were actually above average in terms of expected points, but they are 31st in terms of tight end expectation, basically tied with Cincinnati, who was the worst. And Cincinnati actually outperformed expectation by about 14%. So some of those CJ Uzama, a couple of those big games there helped propel them above expectation. Carolina's the next one at 17.9, and they're just pumping targets to Ian Thomas, extending them, right, giving them a raise. 30% under expectation, just an abomination, that tight end room. And it has been the entire time he's been there. I don't know. I'm not sure there's been a less justified raise that anyone in the NFL has got than the extension that Ian Thomas got. It's absolutely hysterical. The next one is the Saints. Again, this is primarily a volume issue. There's not really a clear guy either. Troutman in there tried to kind of break out, but you know, he hasn't really had that opportunity. Taysom Hill is sort of going back there, so it's kind of a blah type situation overall. Buffalo is actually 28th. Again, part of this is it's what, a three wide receiver, not a ton of tight end outside of Dawson Knox. That's one of the big observations that I would have of this, and a lot of this gets concentrated in Dawson Knox is really the thing. We'll see how that potentially influences with the addition of a guy like OJ Howard, right? Maybe that's something that they want to incorporate a little bit more. They did produce just short of 9% over expectation last year, so it was good for top 20 at the position. The Rams are the next up here at 27th. And this one I got wrong last year. I thought Higbee had some ceiling. It just doesn't really. And they perform under expectation as well. 26th relative to expectation at 9.3 points per game. So basically about a half a point per game under expectation last year. Don't love it. 27th. Like, there's just not a ton of ceiling for that offense there, especially with how centric it's going to be about the wide receivers. Minnesota, 26th. They lose Tyler Conklin. They're getting back. Irv Smith potentially, so we'll see there. But they underperformed as well. Again, with two guys that can have 100-plus targets, 120-plus targets, 150 targets if you're Justin Jefferson, probably, you know, if you were to project out, it's maybe 250, maybe more than that in terms of targets for the wide receivers. You hope to get some out of the running backs. Not a ton there left over for the tight end, especially coming off an injury. He hasn't really broken out yet, so we'll be on the watch for him, but I think he's a little bit overblown price-wise right now for Irv Smith. I just, like, he was going... Yeah, just looking up here, 14th in terms of his median draft position. That's like right around Ertz, Gesicki, sort of in that range. I mean, I guess long term, he's maybe the better option. However, in the near term, I would take both of those guys to smash him. So, again, how much long-term weight do you put in a situation like that? Not a ton, at least for my mind there. And so that's pretty much it for the tight end rundown stuff there. So I know that there was some talk about Fant just this week. They're 24th in terms of expectation. I know Pete Carroll was like licking his chops about it. So, you know, there's that. So we'll be on the watch for that. Again, I think he's more of a flip guy than anything just because I think his ceiling's probably capped in that offense. And I think he's probably not the super elite efficient tight end that you're really looking for to break out. So those would be my pauses there with Joku. And so that'll pretty much do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.